All right. I'm going to go rather rapidly about these slides because many of you already are aware of and know the landscape in somewhat of a greater sense. So with that, I want to just get some quick outline for you. I'll talk about key definitions for our conversation today. Then I'll talk about surveillance informatics in the context of national health management information systems. Then give you some national health sector examples. And the real ground reality, that's the best way to exemplify the complexity of landscape. And then we talk about briefly the issues of surrounding data quality and data flow. And then we get into the informatics capacity building conversation and then make some key observations. So I would just want to put out these two key definitions. I'm almost positive that everybody knows here the key definitions. In surveillance, it's a systematic collection, collation, and analysis of data and the timely dissemination of results for public health action. WHO put this out, and then I just slightly modified a couple of words. And then for health informatics, O'Carroll has put together a definition, working definition, a systematic application of information science, computer science, and information technology to public health practice and research. For our conversation, resource-limited setting, I put out as a definition, as sovereign nations with limited financial investment in public health, lack of adequately trained public health workforce, and insufficient information and communication technology, also known as ICT. Okay. This is a public health environment pyramid, if you will. And for our conversation about informatics, the best way to understand is informatics insofar as data or data exchange happens in multiple ways. Lab exchange of information happens in the laboratory, tapping of electronic health records and managing data links, and managing the creation of creation and distribution of scientific knowledge, modeling of information, integrating disparate systems, and then creating workforce capacity and organization capacity. So in many sense, it's an information-driven activity, and that's public health informatics in many senses. So the box in this pyramid kind of addresses some of the issues that I'm going to lay out for you. So the ways to think about surveillance systems in the context of national HMIS architecture. I'm talking about this because we are not necessarily focusing on the United States, but we're talking about developing countries in the larger context. So if you think about surveillance inside the national HMIS, I'm not going to go in detail about this box because my colleague, Dr. Wei Li, is going to be presenting somewhat of a greater detail on this matter. But just to give you an illustration, there's a lot of complexity of things going on here, but we are going to be just addressing this bottom portion of this, what do you call as the data collection forms and methods ladder. HMIS is a very complicated enterprise, and it contains statistical system as well as financial system. So just keep that in mind, and they are themselves a very complicated system that touches the HMIS architecture in many countries. So surveillance activities happen in the broader context of this vital events, surveys, health risk events, health service records, resource tracking, census, and so on. In those areas, surveillance can occur in that context. So in a way, we are interested in this particular ladder. So I want you to kind of visualize and stare at this drawing for a while, just to give you begin to give you a complexity of what I'm trying to visualize as a complex landscape. So if you think about vertical surveillance system, malaria, tuberculosis, HIV/AIDS, and safe water, and pneumonia, and so on. So if you put a surveillance system ABC in this three-dimensional line and put a box around, this particular box eventually has an interaction, and surveillance system A, B, and C can interact very, in a complicated manner. In this, what I'm calling is as a national HMIS cube. And then there's one too many relationships in this cube. So you don't know whether it's inside the box or outside the box or up touching top or touching the bottom. So what is happening here is that there's a lot of interrelationships between data. And I'm going to illustrate through a set of slides for you. So in the context of information architecture, many of our WHO colleagues know, and many of you who have traveled around the world know, that communities and nations, get a lot of, national governments get a lot of donor support in developing countries. Gates, for example, PEPFAR, World Bank, and then, many individual states have their own internal mechanism and so on. They give money for specific program activities. As a result, you create specific vertical systems. In a way, if you want to talk about surveillance data for malaria or HIV/AIDS, these vertical systems are fantastic. But on a national planning level, we need to think about like horizontal extraction of data. I mean, this is a missing link in these major architectural issues that are currently going on. So invariably, in the developing countries, this is a major problem. So I want to just take you through an example for those of you who have not been detailedly familiar with the structure of national health sector. Health sector is where one needs to understand of how the actual surveillance system interfaces. So I'll give you an India as an example. Both Dr. Martin and our science lawyers and myself and a couple of others worked in India recently, so this is the best example to illustrate. So if you take India as a country, then the health sector starts at the state level at the very highest organization and then goes up to the district level, block level, and sub-center level. Okay? So if you imagine this, more or less this is similar to most of the developing countries we're talking about. Now, if you forget the country as a big whole, a big concept, and then talk about this particular hierarchical structure, then information and communication technology infrastructure is present at the sub-center level, the primary health center level, district level, and so on. So as you note, there are not computers. There are no ICT mechanisms at the highest sub-center level, which is actually at the just right below the village level. This communication technology doesn't necessarily exist in many parts of the world at that level. So this particular picture, if you just keep in mind, then you can actually lay out where the actual health data transfers in so far as. So you got the subcenter at the very top, primary health center, district level, and state level units. Paper data usually is collected at the very origin. So you can see these villages within a subcenter or a block, what we call them. You know, paper data get assembled in a regular fashion for surveillance activities, and then collated eventually down the stream. And I'm not interested in for you to kind of carefully pay attention to this drawing as much as begin to think about data flow processes, okay? So there's a lot of paper exchange that happens and eventual aggregation in the Excel sheets and so on and so forth that happens. So I want to kind of take you through the journey of really how things actually work in the countries that we have worked. And again, this is, many of the slides are from India, but many other slides are also there. As we discussed in the definition, you know, surveillance informatics in resource-limited environments, the definition of surveillance assumes the number one principle, which is systematic collection. So in this context, you know, this is, for example, a public health facility. And by the way, I'm not talking about private health sector at all, because private health sector is a contrast to day and night. And in India, for example, private health sector are phenomenally advanced. And you would not be able to differentiate in certain labs whether you are in the United States or in India. So, but that's private health sector. So we're talking about data sources at the rural health facilities. And the life of data originates in these multitude of books. In fact, it's quite complicated. So creating informatics solution, one needs to understand the structure, how things happen. So this is a woman that we met, and she's carrying a stack of books, and she carries in a bag every week, and then goes village to village and fills out all the data. So I'm just going to flip through her daily work. This is, for example, a diary where she collects the raw data for basic health information needs that India requires her to do. Okay. So remember, there's around 650 districts in India, and there's over 10,000 blocks, and every person in the 10,000 block, insofar as the health worker, carries these processes and carries out every day. Okay, so this is a walking and conversation and writing task and eventual translation into data elements. So I'm going to just flip through a bunch of slides here, and they can, you know, just capture as much as you want. This is a minor ailment registry. This is an OPD registry, outpatient department. Fever registry. This is, again, OPD and fever registry comparison. This is malaria registry. This is a state surveillance registry. This is another registry kept by a doctor, which is essentially an OPD. And, you know, I'm just throwing this slide to illustrate to you. I can't read this. I don't know whether you guys could read it. But so we'll come back to this very important point in terms of surveillance informatics. Well, what I'm illustrating here is not to point at one person or one country or one institution, but this is something that we have to be aware as informaticians to help create a process that will better document. And I will illustrate the reason why I'm showing all of this. So here is an incomplete OPD registry. And this is a fantastic detailed day-to-day data collection process for diarrhea, for example. Okay, this is another state within the country of India that manages very, very good data. So I'm just going to flip this, and then collation. You know, we're talking about, okay, you collected in multiple books. You need to put together in some sensible way every week. Well, this is a 1 foot stack of paper that gets compiled at the district level in all the 650 districts if they were to be implementing this process. So you are going to be inundated with complexity of managing this. So the burden of aggregation, you know, I mean, this is no-name country, but just to illustrate, manual computing that happens all the time, okay? Then you talk about data analysis and dissemination. Bangladesh, this, I took a picture when I was working there. Just to illustrate to you, this is 2007, and this was June. The data is current as of 2007, June. This is dashboard, hand-computed, fairly accurate, okay? So if you think of informatics as information technology-driven, that's really not true in many countries, because ICT touches at the highest level, not at the ground level. So in some sense, you're illustrating here already that things can happen in multiple ways. So, and here is the data storage and retrieval. So, you know, we want to first search and retrieve this data. So obviously you're seeing the stacks of paper. And all of us have been to many, hospital systems where data is kept. Paper is intensive. Paper management is intensive. And many times we can't really use them because paper disintegrates over time. These are not archival quality papers. So in some sense, the very health data we want to protect for forecasting long-term chronic diseases and so on, that could be missing. Now, in principle, I want to go through real quickly here some ideas. You know, fundamentally for informatics, you have data collection, analysis, and reporting, and three fundamental pillars, if you will. And here is what happens in collection, analysis, reporting: your hand computing, and then your graphing, and then you take public health action. The simple analogy to this is bad data forum design, bad data quality, and unreliable epidemiological results. This is as simple as it can get. So if you want to think about examples, I want to show you an example. So here is an unnamed sheet of paper that contains data elements. And you see, I'm putting this mark as 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 9. Well, this is the way the data is collected. The forum is organized nicely as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a serial way, but the data is not collected. In other words, the process of data that happens on the field doesn't happen in this linear thinking wise. And this is another example. Item number 5 is on the second page, and item number 6 is above, item number 7 is right above. And these are completely an out-of-order sequence of how we actually create this. So, and then, of course, you know, there are so much of data. If you actually take this complete forum and analyze, only 30% of the data gets ever filled on this forum at any given time on any scenario. So 70% of information on that forum is really not touched at any given time. So thinking through the process of how do you organize the very forum that you're interested in collecting is a first best step to thinking through the process. Now, this is a scannable forum at the Mela camp in Thailand that we designed. This is clear to the point where if somebody marks on this puts a handwritten information, we can scan them and extract them. We don't even have to touch this piece of paper after it is written. So in a way, clean forum and coding of the forum. So I'm kind of introducing informatics in such a way that paper-based system must work in order for information system technology to be used to make it work. If you don't have a paper system working, it's almost impossible. So I'm not sure whose phone is it, but. So here is a comparison, you know, data collection, bad data form, data analysis, bad data quality. So collection, analysis, reporting is one flow, and if you parallelly compare this, if you're not thoughtful, this really has a repercussion on a national health level. So in the public health data collection cycle, you know, if you have multitude of steps, step 1, 2, 3, and 4 are very important. Define the study, define variables, define paper form, and conduct the pilot test on the paper form. And make sure that cycle is repeated until you are satisfied. Then determine which technical approach you want to use to create a mechanism for using ICT. Here is, for example, active pneumonia surveillance. I'm going to take you some examples from the field real quickly. So here is when you chart out the complicated map of a surveillance system, paper-based system can be very complicated. So you really need to map out and understand how exactly things work. This is mapping out this information in a process manage. And then this is, for example, in Guatemala in diarrheal diseases, we are creating a mapping process of how exactly data moves and how do you create a forum that makes sense. This is in Kenya, the same thing in a logical fashion about national level to a facility level data collection process. This was in Vietnam for HIV/AIDS. And so if you want to think about all the lessons that we learned, what kind of interventions we are doing for using ICT, this is, for example, in El Salvador, a hospital electronic medical record for HIV/AIDS. Very sophisticated, and they can locate the patient, they can track them. So you think developing countries may be completely inundated with paper, but some people are taking steps toward changing that. So these are some of the examples of. This is, for example, in pneumonia surveillance in Thailand, where trial is conducted already now for using PDA-based system to actually replace the paper. This one is just a survey. One of the ways in which data is collected in surveillance is through surveys. So you got a survey of reproductive health in war-torn Liberia, where electricity grid doesn't exist. So battery-operated country, if you will. The entire country operates on the generator. And so in the resource-limited environment, you got to think about creative solutions to create accuracy in data. And in Rwanda, for some of you may already know, the TrackNet project is a good illustration of multitude of technology, including use of cell phones to collect data and also using certain other push technology to process data. Here in Mozambique, for mosquito bed net collection survey, we have used PDAs. It's completely navigable. There's no paper, and actually the instrument will let the person go from house to house through a compass that is already on the PDA. Here is, for example, in Kenya, in the Kibera camps, one of the second largest slums in Africa, there is a patient-based system that's being implemented inside the slums for individuals who come for services. So, and here is El Salvador, is another example of supply chain information system. Very, very important part of HMIS. So if you want to know about how much of HIV or TB-based medicine that you have in your stock for supplying for patients to receive them, you need to have a system that can talk to the HMIS architecture. So this is an example of that. Then satellite communication, for high-level management purposes, you got to think about how do you control the outbreaks in case there's an outbreak, and how do you create a communication system. What we have in CDC, Director's Emergency Operations Center, is something similar to what they're trying to do here in India. So information capacity building is something that I want to kind of introduce you real quickly. So here's an example of not knowing of how to do is not enough. We must transfer our knowledge to the people and make them not depend on us. This is a fundamental process. So I will illustrate to you here about capacity building exercise we're doing in India right now. So as I showed you in the first couple of slides about the complex landscape of India and creating an information system for surveillance, we are illustrating how do you create a database system that will actually create data. So when we are training them, how do you create an information system insofar as? So these are actually some slide sets to make them think through create a data presentation tool that eventually creates a clean slate of website, if you will, and the backend SQL database creates a bunch of shell reports where you can click and document and extract. So I'm going to flip through some of the raw shells of data that's needed for management of information in India and create an online database. And this is real. So this actually is working. So if you will, we have taken people from one point to another point and make them think through the process. So this is a by district of a state of Karnataka, and within the district, by block, the data of a particular activity. So think about that. Nothing is impossible, but a lot of effort and coordination is necessary. Then, of course, we are going through the iteration of visualization of data, which is a very important part of epidemiology in many sense. So you can drill down at the state level, at the district level, at the block level, and then layer a particular kind of information you're interested, whether it could be diseases or not. So this is now being conducted. Okay. So here in China, we were there recently to illustrate the disaster surveillance activities and create a ICT solution to surveillance. Okay, so here we used smartphone technology, and the smartphone technology is actually working to solve some of the data transmission problems. Okay, so here is an exercise. Some of our colleagues are already here who have been to China, who have done a lot of work in this area. Okay. So this is just to give you an idea of countries are really progressing using ICT. So you know, in the context of informatics process in the resource-rich environments, perhaps like United States or other EU nations, we got a whole laundry list of qualities required for informaticians and qualities required for informaticians who would work with health departments to conduct. This is very complicated to implement, but this is just to show you that even in the United States, it's very difficult to identify people with these kinds of skill sets. Okay, but we are going towards the track, and public health informatics, you know, conversations we have had in the last few days in this conference is the best illustration of that matter. And we're talking about interoperability, we're talking about standards, you know, you name a standard, it's in this box. But if you are taking all of this knowledge and go to a developing country, it's overwhelming to understand where to start. So, you know, hope some of you will keep this in mind in terms of providing solutions to the developing countries. There is a serious disconnect between ICT and surveillance informatics. And lack of coordinated approaches is one big example. Here is a hospital system that is not connected by any ICT, and right above is the two screenshots of a geographic information system that is really monitoring the network traffic real time of the entire country, and here is a computer technology that manages it. But one is not talking to the other. Okay, so, and then you got to have conversation among informaticians and epidemiologists, which is another big disconnect. So I'm proposing this equation, which is epidemiology domain and informatics domain will eventually create a surveillance informatics domain. So in terms of conversations and working together to solve problems, okay? And then the most important thing, I'm gonna just, this is the very last portion of this. We have to think about strategic alignments. Strategic alignment is extremely important because, you know, in developing countries, a lot of players are there. The players includes the governments, community leaders, donors, international donors, philanthropists. Many are experimenting of how to solve public health problems. So if you were to think about a framework, you know, think about electronic health. The new buzzword that's in the business today is that how do you actually think of e-health approaches to solving surveillance informatics issues? In this umbrella, you know, if you think about public health surveillances here, there are a lot of stakeholders. But at the end of the day, we need to save lives. And these stakeholders' priorities may work. Now, you probably have to think about coordination. And coordination is really fundamental to these processes because a lot of people are doing a lot of activities. And sometimes you land on the airport and then you begin to see your friend, you know, whom you're not seen for 3 years doing informatics work, but you'd ask him, what are you doing? You know, oh, I'm doing this and that. So, you know, so we don't even talk in that context. So we need to be having better coordination. And plus, international donors need to. So I'm going to put this particular arrow marks to say, if you take epidemiologic science and informatics approach and human capacity, this needs to have alignment. In this graph, it's not aligned. Different pieces are moving at different paces. But if you want to create end result, have a public health impact with through the reliability of data and the approach is sustained, these lines have to somewhat align. And that alignment is extremely important to launch something constructive that can be sustained. So in summary, I want to touch 3 points. Coordination of efforts, and then data integration and adequate human capacity. These are really the underpinnings of long-term survival for surveillance informatics in developing countries. And I thank you for your indulgence. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ramesh. Maybe we have time for a couple of questions, if there are some quick questions for Ramesh.
Yes, sir.
Please. Joel, why don't you go to a mic?
Thank you for the great presentation. I just came out of the plenary session, and I think the presentation there was very similar conceptually in terms of disconnects between systems and silos, looking at the domestic picture in the United States. So my question is, do you find similarities between the international playground and the domestic playground? And you see opportunities where one can benefit from the lessons learned of the others. And also among developing countries, what are some of the advancements have been made that United States, we can utilize the United States and other developing countries?
That's a fantastic question, thank you. I will answer the second one first because I think it's important. Bangladesh requested CDC to assist in creating a data center. So we visited there, and after going through the process of in the field, in the MATLAB area, and begin to understand how the data has been set up insofar as 40 years of longitudinal data, it was stunning, and there was not much we could do at that point of time. And the lessons they taught us was more, they were more valuable than the solutions we could offer, for example. And I could, you know, talk to you in person about that process of illustration, but they were looking for information system solution to simply access the data. Their collection process, their documentation was quite stunning. And the library of maintenance of the data for 40 years on a given household in MATLAB, and everybody who is born, every medicine that they have taken, and all the places where they have moved, and the entire history of that particular family was in this database. It was quite stunning. And in the United States, I'm not sure, maybe other people can comment on this, but that was a better illustration of how the data was managed in MATLAB. That particular process. In terms of whether countries can learn between each other and within the country, you know, partners can learn, absolutely. You know, many times malaria won't talk to HIV/AIDS, HIV/AIDS won't talk to tuberculosis, tuberculosis won't talk to somebody else. So this is a major problem, and I think Dr. St. Louis and everybody else here can testify who have been in the field in detail, in detail documenting this. Right now, there is donor coordination and national ownership strategy thinking that is being percolated in the system worldwide. And that particular approach essentially means, you know, WHO or, for example, UNAIDS wants to bring, at the UNAIDS or the WHO representative wants to bring all the international donors in one room saying, please work with your fellow donor who is investing X number of dollars in a country so we don't create pipelines that are not connected. So the water needs to flow across just as much as it goes up and down. This particular concept is being now instilled. And PEPFAR, I think PEPFAR made some changes to its working principles of how they coordinate. And there's much coordinating activities that are coming in. So that's a good example. And we can talk about that. And there's a lot of work done on that. Yes, sir.
Yes, Joel, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Joel Greenspan. I used to work at CDC, and now I do informatics work. I very insightful presentation, and you know, it didn't take you too long to start talking about the different silos. And I guess my question was partially answered. You know, the issue of multiple donors, you know, throughout the world is a huge problem with, you know, siloed programs, siloed funds, and obviously siloed information. Do you get any sense that the big players are at least willing to sit down and recognize the problem they're creating and come to some decision about trying to find a horizontal as opposed to a vertical solution?
Thank you, sir. That's another very important question. You know, just to give you an analogy about this is an elephant can be very, very gentle. But if it walks on the grass, it could probably kill a lot of micro animals that are underneath the feet. So the weight matters, not how gentle you are. So if a donor A comes and pours X amount of millions of dollars to a country, the absorption becomes a problem. The absorption, and you can trample the other vertical system that are trying to survive. So you can overshadow. This is becoming a major problem. So donors in many places are recognizing. In Vietnam, we just made a first attempt to do national HMIS ownership strategies and donor coordination through WHO representative who is willing to bring the partners in one common room and discuss this sharing of ideas to make sure that the systems that are sponsored will complement the existing system. We don't create silos. I mean, you can have a fantastic siloed structure, but it would be really difficult to have malaria and safe water and down the, you know, stream, even chronic, who may not have enough money to sustain those investments. And people are also recognizing.
Maybe we can come back. You can ask after. Save your question. Don't lose it. But I want to keep the tempo going here. So
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.